right. How's everybody doing this morning? Is anybody here this morning? All right. I am so glad you're here. I need this today, okay? You need to know that. I love this church. I love you guys. I want you to know I love you guys. You guys are special to me. I had a pretty rough week. Anybody have a rough week besides me? I had a pretty rough week, and one of the things for me that really helps me is you guys being here and sharing my life and my journey, and you guys sharing your life with me. You know, the smiles on your face, just the kind words we share with one another. You know, we're like a family. Anybody agree we're like a family? You know, and that's what church becomes. We become a family, and I really enjoy this. And so I need today. I don't know whether you need it or not. I need today. Okay, and so be here for me. Can we do that? And I want to talk about a table. A table up here this morning, and I want to talk about being at a table. Next week, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. All right. So next week we're going to have a table. And we're going to have the Lord's Supper. So I want to make sure I prepare you for that. Okay. So next week when you come in, there's going to be no chairs in here. All right. So you're going to have to stand. No, you don't have to stand the whole service. Okay. I'm going to have tables set up. We did this once when we were in the school. Is we're going to have tables and you can round a table and we're going to share the Lord's Supper around tables. Okay. And so we're going to have tables all over the place, and we'll have the Lord's Supper there for you. And so I want to kind of get you ready for that. So don't be surprised coming in and going, what did he do? I'm crazy. I'm weird. We like doing things. The Lord's Supper is something very special. And so we're going to do that because we're a family, right? We're a family. I like this passage here. I'm going to read this to you. It's from Ephesians. It's Paul writing. He says, now you who are not Jewish are not foreigners or strangers. That word now, why don't you circle now? What he's referring to is when you cross that invisible line. When you cross that invisible line, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours, my life, and take control. And I get that relationship with God. I am no longer a foreigner. I am no longer a stranger. All right? Here's what he says. No longer stranger. But citizens together, God's holy people, you belong to God's family. We're a family. Now, some of you are a little more mature than others. How's that? Can I say it that way? Some of us are a little more mature than some of the others in here. How many here can remember when you went to church, you called somebody brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? Anybody? Now, some of you younger ones, look at them. You're going, they're old, right? Yeah. Now, it was kind of transitioning out when I started going to church in the 70s. It was kind of starting to fade away. But we still called our pastor Brother Lehman. He was Brother Lehman. It wasn't pastor. It was Brother Lehman. And I know I've talked to others here. We had sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Because we are a family. And one thing families do together is they eat, right? Anybody here like eating? Not many. You guys don't like? I love eating, okay? If it doesn't show, I do. You know? And so we're going to take the Lord's Supper next week. But today, I want to talk about the table. Today, I want to kind of talk about the table. But here's what I want to say. You're invited to the table. We're all invited to the table. And that said that nobody's a stranger anymore to God. How many of us, again, grew up singing a song that's red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in his sight. Is that true? There's no strangers anymore. There's no foreigners anymore. When you cross that invisible line, you become part of God's family, and there's love and acceptance, and you're part of something bigger than yourself, and you're part of God's family. And it's an open invitation. Anybody can come, and everybody can come. There's no limit. There's no, you can't, and you can, and no, and everybody's welcome and everybody's received when they come. It's an open invitation. But they had a problem with this because we make invitations, but not everybody comes. You know, God sets down and he sent his son to die on the cross that whoever believes him should not perish but have eternal life. Everybody recognize John 3:16. You know? And it's an open invitation to all who want to come. But then some don't come. And Jesus had this conversation. Jesus one time told this parable and to this Pharisee. They were trying to trick Jesus. And I want you to say this here. They had gathered. As a servant came. See, The guy had prepared a table. He had prepared a party. You know, I don't know. When I got married, we didn't send out the save the date. You know, nowadays, anybody get those save the dates? You know, somebody sends save the date, you know, and it might be a year before the wedding, you know, you get save the date, you know. And so this guy had prepared a banquet. He sent out a notice saying save the date, save the date. This notice to save the date. And so all this went out. Now it came. You know, he got the banquet all ready. Everything's ready. The table's ready. The food's ready. You know, everything's all set. So he sends his servant out to go get everybody. You know, you're supposed to save the date. And he goes to get everybody, and everybody starts having excuses. Did anybody ever find somebody in the church with an excuse? You know, that's the only day I get to sleep in, right? You know, I love the excuses. The guy goes, I just bought an ox, and I go, my ox out. Anybody just buy a car, you got to go test drive it on Sunday, right? That's what they're saying, you know, or I like this one. I just got married, and we're going to go, you know, I need the next 6 months off. You know, you read that parable, and Jesus tells all this, and the guy goes, now listen, I invited everybody on my list, and they're not coming, so now I'm going to open it up, this open invitation. And look at what it says here. You got your little outline there. You can follow along. So the servant reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. He's saying, bring in all the hurt people. Bring in all the wounded people. Bring in those who really need this. And the servant said, sir, what you've commanded has been done. And still there's more room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. My house may be full. See, God invites everyone. He's got an open invitation. I love the picture of Jesus dying on the cross. Where's his arms? You know, it's not, everybody, come on down to church. Love to have you there. No, it's, hey, I love you. I care. I'm dying for you. Come. And that's an open invitation that God sends, and everyone's invited, and anyone can come. And that's what we need to see, and that's what we need to understand, that God has this open invitation to come to him. Wounded, hurting, abused, sinner, if you want to use that word sinner, doing things that are wrong, messing up your life, living a screwed up life. God is sitting there saying, come, I don't care where you've been, I don't care what you've done, come. Is that what he's saying? And it's an open invitation. And it goes with one of my favorite verses. I love Romans 10:13. This is a good verse to memorize, okay? And I list verse because there's one particular word that's important to me. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Circle that word, shall. Whosoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. God doesn't say, come to me, call on me, and then we'll see how you do in the end. We'll check you out after things are all done. We'll see if you measure up. We see how good you've been. We'll see how bad you've been. God says, come, whosoever, come, shall be saved. Let me tell you something. I'm going to heaven. Anybody else going to heaven? I'm not going to heaven because Gary's a preacher. I'm sure glad not, because I don't do too good at that sometimes. All right? But I'm going to heaven because of the grace of God, of the mercy of God, of the goodness of God, of the everlasting love of God. I'm going to heaven. And so I put it this way, at the bottom of your page, I am a whoever. The next thing, I'm a whoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm one of the whoever. Anybody else part of the whoever? I'm a whoever. I've called on God. I'm part of that whoever. When you cross that invisible line, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. And I cross that invisible line. God comes in and I become one of the whoever. I am going to heaven, not because I'm good, not because I never make a mistake. I'm driving to LA today. You think I'm going to make a mistake? You know? I bet when I get to Hatchby coming down that hill, I might even make it out of Salida before I get upset. Somebody at the street up here at the light. Arrgh! You know? But whosoever shall be saved. See, it's an open invitation to whosoever. And when you cut line, not only do you are you saved, but you become a part. Listen to what it says. For whoever, like that word whoever again, does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Guess whose words these are? These are the words of Jesus. See, on one occasion, these guys, Jesus' family kind of thought Jesus was a little crazy. You know, if one of your kids come up to you and said they're God, would you think they're a little crazy? You know? And so Jesus' mom and his sister and brothers all kind of thought something's wrong with Jesus. So they go looking for him one day. You know, and they go, and the people at the house go, hey, he's outside. Your brother and mother and them are outside wanting you to go out there. And he goes, who's my brother and brother? It's those who do the will. And when you do that, you notice what you become? You become brothers and sisters. You become part of the family of God. So I put there also, I'm a part of the family of God. I'm a part of God's family. We're all in this life together. That's, to me, the most amazing thing to think about. You know, if I rock your boat, now I always look at it this way. If I cause you trouble and your boat starts rocking, guess who's in that boat too? You know, I stumbles in your boat. I'm in that boat too. I'm going down too. We're all in this together. We're part of the family of God. It's an open invitation. Whoever calls shall be saved. Whoever crosses that line is part of the family of God. I'm part of a great big family. You know what? I got family in Florida. I got family in Southern California. You know, I got family over here in Modesto and some churches over here because they've crossed the line. Anybody? Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're part of this family of God when we cross this line. And it's an open invitation. But here's something about the invitation we often forget. That open invitation has this plus on it. Yeah. Anybody ever get those invitations? Plus one, plus two. Anybody ever get those? Yeah. Well, see, God gave us an open invitation with a plus on it. And we need to be inviting others. Did you know that? I got a big family, and I want to invite others to join my family. Now, in my personal family, you need to know, so I'm down to one sister. All right? And, you know, I may talk to my sister more now, but before my dad passed away, I maybe talked to my sister two or three times a year. You go back a year or so, I might have talked to my sister one time a year. At Thanksgiving, when we all got. But now I got a bigger family. This is my family. And he get a plus. I get to bring others in. I get to invite others. And I think we need to see this. So here's what I want to ask. I want you to think about this. Who are you inviting? Look at what it says. That you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my inviters. Telling people about me. Wherever. In Jerusalem. Throughout Judea. In Syria, and to the ends of the earth. He's saying, you're going to be my invitation. You're going to be inviting others. You're going to be asking others to join you on this wonderful journey. See, who are you inviting to join? You got a plus. Yeah. How many times we come to church alone? Who are we going to meet in the parking lot? You know, are we going to sit to a guest that comes in our church? Are we going to go sit next to him? I'm kind of meddling now. You guys got real quiet. It's like, don't move. Don't stir anything. He's, you know. We need to be thinking about who we're bringing in. Who's my plus? Oh, it's just me. See, for me, here's what, you know, I'm in no rush to get to heaven. You need to know that. One day I'm going to go there, but I'm in no rush to get there. But here's what I look forward to the most when I get there. I want to see Jesus, all right? And I want to talk to Moses, because Moses is a guy to me. I admire that dude, you know? But one of the great joys of life for me is going to see somebody come up to me and say, thank you, Gary. Doing this or being there or saying this or inviting me. That to me is the greatest joy, to know that somebody's in heaven because of me. Think about that. Wouldn't that be the greatest joy? That somebody's there because you had the plus one to bring them, to invite them. And we're invited to the table. And so it's an open invitation. Whoever is invited. Whoever is part of the family when they cross that invisible line. Whoever can bring a plus one, a plus two, a plus 10, a plus 30. Guess what? God's always going to have food, isn't he? I think there was a time when he fed 5,000 people with a couple of pieces of bread and couple of fish. God can do it. So we need to be inviting. So there's an open invitation to the table of God. And so I want to make sure you got that picture, because I want to talk about the table this morning. Because when I'm talking about the table this morning, I'm going to take the table to represent the church. Okay? Jesus, you know, I never thought about this much as I was writing the message. I had to go and I got that computer Bible and I put table in the search, how many times table is. And you know how much time Jesus spent at a table? I was surprised. He went to somebody's house. He sat at Simon's house. He sat at the table. He went to the Pharisee's house. He sat at the table. He went to Peter's mother-in-law's house. He sat at the table. Yeah. He told the parable, the table. The table was a significant thing. And I think the table can represent church, because God's inviting everybody to the table. Is God inviting everybody to church? Can whoever come? You know, when whoever comes and they join, are they part of the family of God? Can they bring a plus one, a plus two? And so I think the table, it makes a good representation of our relationship with God and what God wants to do in our lives. So what I want to do this morning is, when you get to the table, is the table always in the room by itself, or is there some chairs? Anybody got chairs around your table? Anybody got your table? Anybody need some chairs? Some of you guys didn't raise your hand. Anybody need some chairs? Yeah. You know, I'll find some chairs if you need some. You don't have to stand up to eat. You know, but we've got chairs, and I think the chairs kind of represent some of the stages or some of the places we go in our Christian walk in our lives. So I just kind of want to talk about three chairs this morning. Three chairs that when we invite somebody to church, when somebody walks through the doors, when we come through the doors, where am I sitting in? You know, you might think what chair you're sitting in this morning. I think that'd be good. Think about what chair you're in. I'm going to describe three chairs. You pick a chair, all right? You're going to pick a chair this morning. I'm going to describe three chairs this morning. Let's talk about chair number one. And I'll just call this one. It's the closest to me. I'll call this one chair number one. And so I put it this way. Chair number one. Those who do not know Jesus personally. There are people, hopefully here this morning, who have no relationship with God. You hear me talk about it week after week, that there's an invisible line. You know, I was 17, and I always knew there was a God. I always knew the Bible was God's word. I never questioned any of that. But until I was 17 did I realize that I need a personal relationship with God. You know what? I have my picture taken with Jimmy Carter. I am standing next to Jimmy Carter. My wife and I, we're standing next to Jimmy Carter. I know Jimmy Carter. Do I know him? You know, I'm going to take my phone. I'm Jimmy Carter. You think that's going to go anywhere? You know, I always knew there was a God. But not until I was 17 when I said something along the line, God, I'm tired of doing it my way. You know, I'm tired of messing my life up. I'm tired of making my choices, God. I want to do life your way. You know, I'm going to try to live by your principles, by your teachings, God. Come into my life and take control. And so there's those who don't know Jesus. We need to have people who don't know Jesus here. Is that true? You know, should the church have people who don't know Jesus? I see some bobbing heads, okay? You know, there should be lost people there. And here's a challenge. When people who don't know Jesus come to church, how are they going to act? They're going to act like Christians, right? You know, they're going to act like, you know, they're going to behave and they're going to look right and they're not going to say wrong words, right? They're not going to do wrong things, right? Come on. How do we expect lost people to act like Christians? Christians even have a hard time acting like Christians. Anybody know that one? You know? It is hard. And so we need to understand that in church we should have people who do not know Jesus. All right? You guys are quiet. You got to help me out here. Because this is a passion, man. There's people. I got neighbors. I got friends that I want to know. That I want them to know Jesus. Anybody got neighbors or friends that need to know Jesus? Anybody got children? Grandchildren? You know, family? Neighbors? You know, we want them to know Jesus. How are we going to get them to know Jesus? We don't bring them to church. And then when they get to church, they got to act a certain way. Now, see. This is what's interesting. I was doing some research this week, and years ago when I went to church, here's how the principle kind of went. You went to church, and you started behaving. And when you start behaving, then you started to believe, and then you got to belong. Remember that? You go to church, you act a certain way. And my problem was, when I went to church, we had some people in that church that knew me before I started going to church. They lived around the corner. I never had a chance with them. because they knew what I behaved like and how I lived around the corner from them. And if you were my neighbor, you would not have liked me. All right? I wasn't bad, but I sure aggravate the daylights out of you. You know, then if you didn't behave right and treat me right, you might get up a driveway all smashed up. You know? Then I went to church and so I had to start behaving right before they started accepting me. You know, and then I started believing right, and I started, you know. Nowadays it's a different kind of a plan. People want to come and they want to feel like they're a part. They want to belong a little bit. You know? They want to fit in a little bit. And they're bringing their life with them, and they bring a life that's messed and that's hurting. And that, what do we expect? And so it's kind of going like this nowadays. It's kind of go, you belong, and then you start believing, then you start behaving. It's kind of the difference that we're seeing in today's world. And we need to see this. And what do we expect when somebody comes in? And look at what it says here. Jesus went to dinner. Now, I think this is amazing. I fill this in. Look, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, now I want to tell you, Matthew was a tax collector, okay? Matthew became one of Jesus' disciples, all right? So let me paint a picture here. You got Peter, who he was a fisherman that Jesus picked up along the shore of Galilee to be his disciple. Peter and his brother Andrew, and picked up James and John. He picked up these fishermen. Good Jewish boys, all right? Good Jewish boys. Then he walks into town, and he finds a Roman operator, tax collector, and says, join me. Now, I'm sure Peter had different ideas about Matthew, all right? I'm sure there was something else. Now, let me make it even more interesting. You got a guy named Judas, okay? Now, we all know who Judas ended up being, right? But Judas was what was called a zealot, which means he wanted he wanted a outright rebellion against Rome. He wanted to get the army and go out there to Rome. That was Judas. We're just going to go out. I don't care if I die. I'm going to die fighting these Romans. So can you imagine? Think about this. Here's Jesus. He's got these good Jewish boys. He's got this Jewish zealot that wants to kill every Roman he can. And he goes and says, Matthew, come and follow me, who's a Roman collaborator. You think that went over well? I mean, I just think about the story there. When Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, so he goes to Matthew's house, many tempters and sinners came. Oh, man, it's all messed up now. You know, it's not just my Jewish friends. It's not just those who believe in Jesus. It's not just good people. Came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifices. Not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Who's God reaching out to? The hurting world. Those imprisoned by sin. I think sin prisons, okay? I really do. I think there's some people who are caught in sin that don't want to be there. Did you know that? I really believe that. You know? But we need to understand that they can come. What was interesting is I was working on this message series. It's been a couple of months now. And then I'm in a meeting or fellowshipping, and somebody asked me this question. What would you do? I met a gay couple. A couple of lesbians. And I wanted to invite them to church. What would you say? And it's like, welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you chose to worship with us today. You know, come on in. Yeah. And then the question was, what do you think your church would say? And I look around and I think, I believe, I hope, I pray you guys would say, come on in. Come on in. You know, I hope that's our church, that people are going to come in here who are hurting and wounded and they're still bleeding. Does that make sense? They're still bleeding. What's so amazing, like I said, God is, to me, is so fascinating, because I'm working on my sermon and I read some books, okay? I get abstracts from articles. And so I'm working on the message this week, and Tuesday, one of the abstract comes in, about a girl named Jerry Carey or something. I can't remember her name. I got it in the office. Or wait. I got it right here. Jackie Hill Perry shares her journey past same-sex attraction to the Savior. Talk about going to church for the first time. You know, and her experience. And I'm sitting there going, I'm going to preach this. And now look, God sent me this article to read. And then not more than 30 minutes later, I get an article about a gay couple that went to church to try to challenge the church. And guess what happened? They got accepted and changed their lives. It took a year, but God worked. See, what do? You know? Now, is it going to be comfortable? Is it comfortable for us when people come in and don't behave right, don't act right? Is it comfortable for them? Are we willing to let people come to church who don't kind of fit? They're not Christian yet. You know, I want to go, duh. Now, what would happen? Let me do it this way. What would happen? Some guy walks through the doors and starts walking into church, and his feet are bleeding, and he's walking on our carpet, and he walks up here, and he sets up here in the front row, and he came up, and he sat down. What would, you know, he's got blood all over our carpet. You know, he's bleeding, and he's got blood all over our carpet. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm sitting there, I look at his feet, and you know what's in his feet? Those are nail holes in his feet. You know who that is? That's Jesus. Are we willing to accept people like Jesus? Man, you guys are quiet. You know? I want to make sure there's chair one. I want to make sure in our church that it's okay to come to church hurting. Am I okay? That's okay coming wounded. That sinners are welcome here. If sinners aren't welcome here, guess who ain't welcome here? All right? Yeah? That when we see people come in. Now, here's my challenge for you. Got people visiting our church, people coming in, and maybe people you need to invite. Will you meet them in the parking lot? When you see a guest, will you go sit with them and say, hey, can I sit with you? I don't know you. I don't know you from the man on the moon. But can I sit with you? Make them feel welcome. Now I want to make sure I'm in words that are really important to me. That there's a difference between acceptance and approval. Okay? I can accept anybody. I don't have to approve anything. All right? And so that's what I want our church to be, an accepting church. I feel good. You need to know, when they ask me that question, I go, I don't think anybody in church would bat an eye if two gay people walked into this church. I don't think anybody in this church would go, oh! Yeah. Now, I don't know if we'd sit next to them or not, but I'd encourage you to. Welcome. I went to church 6 months before I accepted the Lord. Anybody else go to church? And I walked through the doors and God just plumped and fell on me. It took me 6 months going to church before I accepted the Lord. Then it took me another 6 months before I got baptized. Anybody else in that kind of boat? You know, just not, you know, wave a magic wand over your head. Boing! You know, I needed a hammer on me. So here we got chair number one, all right? Chair number one, those who don't know the Lord, those who haven't made that decision yet, that invisible line. We got another chair. Let's go to chair number two here. I'm going to call chair number two those who have just stepped over that invisible line. Remember that invisible line? I make this as plain as can be. You're not a child of God. You're not a. You can say, I was born in a Christian home. I was dragged to church. I was dragged to church. You know, make me a Christian. You know, I shook a preacher's hand. Didn't make me a Christian. You know, I reached a point in my life where, along the lines of something like this, God, I was tired of doing life my way. I've jacked my life up. Anybody else jack your life up? I had a jacked up life. Even at 17, I was not the best kid in the block. God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it yours for my life and take control. And I cross that invisible line. And so there's a chair for those who, let's put it this way, fresh faith. Those who've just crossed that line. They're just starting out in their walk with God. They're just coming in and trying to figure things out. Here's what the Bible says. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The Christian faith is a growth. I'm not born mature. I'm not born. Anybody have a child that's born eating steak and potatoes? You know? It takes time. Well, it's the same thing with the Christian. You know, a Christian is born and it's a process. We grow, we learn, we develop. And I want to make sure our church helps that. You know, as a church, you know, you come and I want our messages that we preach, the music that we sing to encourage you to grow and help you grow. I want to get you in a small group in our church. Find 8, 5, 8, 10 people that you can study God's word with that'll help you grow as you feed on God's word. You know? Join and be a part of our 40-day annual 40-day study where we spend 40 days preaching and teaching and reading in small groups, growing in God. We had some go to our class last week. We had some go to spiritual learning by shape, that how God has shaped me last week. I want to have a church that's helping people grow and develop as Christians. And I want this church to do that. You know, we're in that 235. Anybody remember what 235 is? 235. Two stands for the second Sunday. 35 stands 3 to 5 on that second Sunday. So anytime you want a training in our church, Sunday, the second Sunday, 3 to 5, you can find training in this church. See, that's chair number two. We want you to grow. We want you to develop. You're learning about God. Is this church going to be like that? Is this your seat? Are you sitting in the growing seat that you're just starting out in your faith? You're just starting to walk. You know, watch a baby start to walk. I know we got a lot of babies growing up in the church right now, and he's starting to take steps, or she's starting to take steps, and I hear those. Isn't that exciting as a parent? Anybody? You know, you watch those kids start walking, you know, and it's like, they're letting go now, you know. And same thing as Christians. We should get excited when we're growing in the Lord, shouldn't we? You know, that my small group, you know, and I'm learning this, and I discovered this, and God revealed this, and I learned to pray this, and I want our church. And so in our church, we want to have a seat for those who are starting out. We got a seat for those who are far from God and they're trying to figure God out. And then we got a seat for those who are just kind of starting out, for those who are trying to, you know, figure their faith out and starting to grow. Look at what it says. For this very reason you're a child of God. That's what reason means. You cross that invisible line. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying grow. So I'm going to ask you, are you growing in the Lord? Are you sitting in seat number two? Are you in that process? You're plugging in. You're finding a place. You're maturing. You're learning about God. This is what church. So that's seat number two. Then we got a third seat here. And this seat, I wrote it this way. Those who have already stepped out in faith. First, you step across that invisible line and you accept Jesus Christ. Then you step out in faith and you start getting involved. You start attending more. You start participating. You start serving. You start sharing. You start caring. You start helping. You start bettering your life. You're moving on. You're taking more steps. You're not just, I'm just here. I'm just kind of figuring things out. Oh, you're finding a role. You're finding a place. You're finding some opportunities to make a difference. You're plugging in. And this is that faith that you've stepped across that line. And not only just that. And it says this, and I want to talk about the word mature. Here, let me read this, and we'll talk about it. Now listen to what Paul says. This is real good. Not that I have already reached the goal, or I am already fully mature. Now, you hear what Paul said? I'm not yet, and I'm not even mature yet, all right? But I make every effort to take hold of it, maturity, because I have been taken hold of by Jesus Christ. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Jesus Christ. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. I want to tell you what he did. Real quick. He says, I'm not mature, but if you think you're mature, you better start thinking like this. Did you catch that, what he did? He says, I'm not mature, but if you think you are, pay attention to this. God will reveal this also to you. If you think you're mature, God's going to tell you you're not. All right? I'm not mature. I'm immature. Now, I like this passage. I'm not what I was. I mean, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm not what I was. And that's what that is. I've stepped out. No, I don't know everything. No, I can't do everything. But you know what? I'm going to step out. I'm going to start working with children in the children's department. I'm going to start working in the nursery and helping in the nursery. I'm going to start helping in Awana. I'm going to be there for the block party and take part in the block party. I'm going to be here and I'm going to plug in and be a part. See, that chair, you know, and that thing. Just so you know, only about 20% of Christians end up in this chair. Did you know that? 20% of Christians do 80% of what's done. You guys are quiet. It's scary. You guys are scaring me. You know? Are we growing? Here's my challenge to you this morning. What chair are you in? You know, are you here? And it's okay to be here. All right? I want to tell you, it's okay. Be here, but don't stay here. All right, is that okay? Can I say that? You know, when you come in as a sinner, it's okay. You're lost. We want to help you find the way. You know, but here, you know, it's okay to be here. You're just starting out. But if you sit in this chair 10 years, you're going to get wore out rear end. You know, you got to get into this chair so you sit down and you get up and you sit down and you get up and you sit down and you get up. You didn't know what serving God? You know, you don't sit down too long. There's always something to do. It's like, oh, I can take a break. Oh, no, I got to see that now. I got to go do that. You know? I want to challenge us. There's one other, I didn't put a chair here because it's not a good chair. These are, I don't want to say good chairs. I don't know about the first one, but they're chairs. But I got another chair. Is he going to bring me a chair? Is anybody going to bring me a chair? I got another chair. Anybody recognize this chair? What's this chair? It's a high chair. Anybody ever know a Christian sitting in a high chair? Don't raise your hand. You know? Anybody ever know a Christian that whines? Anybody ever know a Christian that's negative? Anybody ever know a Christian that's mean? You know? Fortunately, I haven't seen too many of those. I have seen them. All right, yeah. That's not a good chair. That's not a chair we need in the church. That's why I didn't put it out here. But I want to make sure, you know, just so you know, some of you guys don't know, again, when we were in the school cafeteria over there, I preached a sermon sitting in a high chair. You know? Because we do, you know, people whine and complain, I didn't get my way. Well, I wanted it this color. Why did you paint the church that way? You know, I praise this church. Nobody said anything when the church was painted. Well, I would have picked a different color. I never heard that. I praise the church for that. Nobody ever said, well, I don't like the carpet. You need to know something. I never heard anybody say, I didn't like the carpet. I didn't like the color. I didn't care for the chairs. I praise the church for that. Now, I heard some other things, but I'm not going to talk about those. But you know what? Don't sit in a high chair. Now, here's one thing, preacher. I wish Daryl was in here. He's out there. He'll know this one. Daryl, right? We talked about this in our Bible study on Wednesday. But one of the hardest things preacher hates to hear is, he's not feeding me. I set the table for you. We set it. We put the food out there. Here's God's word. Here's Bible study. Come and feed. Here's a study. Be a part. We set the table. If you don't eat, whose fault is it? Yeah. It's your own fault. Now, I'll give you a bottle if you want a bottle. No? But we want to grow, so don't sit in this chair, please. It hurts me. And it does hurt you. All right? You know? And I'm serious. I've seen, you need to know, I have a church that argued whether they should have the pulpit here or not. All right? Not my church. They were fighting. They did vacation Bible school. They moved the pulpit for vacation Bible school. Nobody put it out. The preacher left it alone and was preaching. Somebody complained. The next pulpit was put there. He come back the next Sunday and somebody had moved the pulpit. People were moving and putting the pulpit back and forth. You know? And I had a great conversation with somebody. It's like, you know, they wanted the pulpit. And I was saying, why do you want it? Why do you want it? Why do you want it? And if they had come down, they finally said this, because I like it. I said, so you're fighting over a preference. If we had a preference, guess what color this church would be? Anybody know what color the church would be if it had my preference? All right, yes! It'd been blue! Yeah?
I don't get my way either.
Yeah. But I've seen church, literally churches have fought in the past days before we had padded chairs. They fought over padded pews. They fought over what side the piano, I had a preacher one time tell me, they fought over what side the piano should go on in the church. A new pastor came and went to visit one of the key fighters on which side the piano should go on. He's talking to him, and he said, well, which side did you want? He goes, I don't remember. We don't need a high chair, all right? I don't want to tear this high chair up. I got to be careful. Just so you know, this is Tom's dad's high chair. So it's a little antique. We don't need a high chair in our church, do we? We don't need that chair. But so I want to ask you, what chair are you sitting? Let me read that passage here. Look at what it says. Brothers and sisters. Don't you like that? We're back to family again, right? Back to family. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. I couldn't address you as growing in Christ. But as people who are still worldly. We're infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. I love this, man. You are still worldly, for since you are jealous, since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? I think that's awesome. We don't want that. So here's my challenge to you this morning. I got three chairs here. Which chair are you sitting in? Where are you sitting? You know, if you're a sinner this morning, let me tell you something. Jesus loves you. He died for you. If you're in this chair, you never accepted Jesus Christ, and you're kind of far from God, I want you to know God loves you right now just as you are. He died just as you are. But he wants you not to stay the way you are. It's real simple. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. I'm going to, you know, and it's not willpower and it's not self-control. It is God working in us. Anybody on board with that one? If you're in this chair, you can change today. Just a simple prayer. How about this chair? Anybody, you know, don't raise your hand, but, you know, you're fresh faith. You know, maybe your fresh faith is starting to rotten because you've been there 10 years. You know, you got to get up and you got to move. Maybe, if you're just starting out, this is a good chair. This is a good chair. There's nothing wrong with this chair. If you're just starting out and you're just trying to figure faith out. And I'm going to tell you, I can see people sitting in this chair 5-6 years, taking some time trying to, I remember when I first became a believer, it took me a long time. But then you got to start stepping out. It's time to move on. It's time to, put your big boy pants on and go do something? Can I say it that way? You know? I'm not going to say be mature because I'm immature. You guys know me, you know, but I'm in the process. I'm not what I was. I'm going to be somebody else in the future. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. Which chair are you in? I end with this verse. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Sound okay? What chair? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truth. I thank you above all that you're a merciful God. That it's not sacrifices you want. It's mercy. It's mercy, Lord, that you love us and you care for us. Lord, it's hard walking this earth. It's hard living here. You lived it, Jesus. You know what it is. It took your life. So you know how hard it can be for us. So we seek your mercy and your grace. And we thank you that you're a loving, caring, compassionate God with abundance of love and care. You know, as I'm praying this morning, I want to ask pray about what chair you're in. And if you want to move chairs and you want me to pray for you, I don't know, maybe it's just a move. And you can pray out. You can pray to yourself, God, I'm tired of doing things. Might want to do them yours. You can pray that prayer and ask God to come into your life. Maybe you want to move from one of the, maybe you want to move up from the other chair from that faith. You want me to pray for you and say, I want to change seats. I want to move that seat. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of those who want to take a step out, a step in faith, not in our human strength and our human wisdom, but a faith in Jesus Christ because of what he's done for us. So, Lord, I lift these up to you. Guide their mind, guide their thoughts, lead them to the step they need to take, wherever it is, wherever they want to plug in, however they want to share, wherever they want to serve, however they want to care. Lord, wherever you want to take them, Lord, you take them their next step. They're saying yes to you right now. And so, Lord, you empower them. You let that spirit that fills them overflow and guide their decisions, guide their heart to the place of growth in Jesus' name. Amen. We're at the pause end of our service with an invitation. Invitation is real simple. It's an opportunity for you to respond. I'm just here to pray with you. I'm going to stand right here in the front. I'm here to pray. I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you need to get out of seat number one and you want me to pray with you about that. Maybe you need to get out of seat number two. Maybe you're in seat number three and you've been beat up. Anybody been beat up in seat number three? You know, it gets hard there. You get tired. You get weary. I see some people going, oh, yeah, it's rough. Maybe you need some prayer. You're in seat number three and you just need some prayer, man. Life is just kind of through some hard things. I had a week like that. I had a hard week this week. I'm looking forward to next week because I had a hard week. And I'm excited about this coming week. But I'm here for you. I'm here to be a part of what God is doing in your life. So this is an invitation. Invitation to God. You can pray where you stand, or you can come and I can pray with you and I can share with you that this is your time. So I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to sing this song. And you come as the Spirit leads. So would you stand? Would you sing? And you come as it leads.
It's all about you. It's It's all about you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated right where you're at. Listen, I want to say this. You know, I talked about Jesus crossing an invisible line. You don't have to be in church to do that. Did you know that? You can do it anytime, anywhere. I make it just a simple phrase. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. So if you need to make that decision, just do it anytime. Then share it with somebody so we can rejoice with you. Let me know, or family member who knows Jesus knows, so we can rejoice with you. But you have a blue card in your worship folder. It's a communication card. I want to pray for you. I want to share what God's doing in your life. So take a few minutes to fill that out. Let me know what's up, what God's doing. And I want to let me be a part of what God is doing there. And I appreciate that. Then drop it in the offering bag with the gifts and offering. I'm going to invite our ushers forward. One of them will lead us in a word of prayer. And again, you just drop that blue card in the offering bag. Would you do that for me?
Thank you.